Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah! Yeah. Are you excited to be here tonight? Yeah. On the 46th anniversary of our republic, isn't it? Republic holiday today. There's no better place to be than to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for a day like this. The rest, the peace that we enjoy. We don't take it for granted. Many countries that are not at peace. Well, thank you for today, the day that we celebrate our 46th Republic Day. I thank you for those who, on top of all the excitement, managed to turn up in your house tonight. I know you will not let them leave the same as they came. I know you've seen everyone who has come, and I know they are not going to leave without a blessing. Speak to our hearts, like the song said. Speak to our hearts and affect our lives. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. I like that song that says, speak to my heart, Lord. Yeah. Speak to my heart. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you live in the same house. One of the nice things is that a person will speak to your heart. Trovisia, what do you think? Yeah. When you speak to your heart, it makes you feel nice. Carla, why are you smiling? The last I knew. Somebody say, speak to my heart, Lord, tonight. Amen. I think it's a very wonderful day. Isn't it Republic Day? Where's Prince? It'll be a miracle if he comes. He's still holding the flag. It's 200 feet high above the ground. Wow. Oh, with his head. Okay. Yeah, he's using his head to keep the flag in place. But I think that is very, very... when things happen, you should learn from them. Isn't it? Daniel, you can't see me. Okay, I'll move around so you can see me. You know, when things happen, you have to... learn from them. Do you understand? When is it Republic Holiday? Many people don't understand what Republic Day is. But I don't want to go into that because it's not a Republic Day service. It's a Tuesday night service. But I was not born in Guyana. I was born in Ghana in a village called Agogo. Agogo. A-G-O-G-O. Very, very, very far from here. Yeah, in the Asante Achim district of the Ashanti region. For those of you who know the Asante Achim district. Now, I'm proud to be a Ghanaian. God bless our homeland, Ghana. Make our nation bold and strong, isn't it, Raphael? Great and strong. Bold to defend forever. The cause of freedom and of what? Is it right? Right. Make our hearts with true humility. Make us fearless and honesty. And help us to resist oppressors' rule with all our will and might forevermore. That's the national anthem. God bless our homeland, Ghana. All right. So, I'm proud to be a Ghanaian. We have flags here. I have the Ghana flag right here. For those who don't know how the Ghana flag looks like. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's nice. The vegetation, the gold, the blood that was shed for the freedom of the country, and the black man that is shining in the world. Yeah. Black star. The black man is a star. Yeah, that's us. Yeah. Now, I have been very excited about what was going on there at Jubilee Stadium with the long, flag mast and the whole thing. For me, it's even me who wasn't born here, I feel very proud. Do you understand? Because when you travel around the Caribbean, the people don't respect Guyanese. Guyanese are the beggars around. Ghana is one of the most poorest, the most dirtiest country in the English-speaking Caribbean around here. So people don't respect us. Anytime we're having a program, it's cheaper to come to Guyana than to go to any other place. So for example, when the bishop came around, he had a camp in Jamaica for the churches and the countries that are under the Jamaican regional headquarters. And then for us and the countries that are under the Guyanese regional headquarters. Everybody was supposed to go to Jamaica, ended up coming to Guyana. Because it was cheaper to come to Guyana than to go to Jamaica. Because nobody comes here. The traffic is not towards the Golden Arrowhead. It's rather away from it. And so the cost is cheaper to fly in here than to go anywhere. In fact, even to go to Kaja Falls, you can go to Trinidad with it. Isn't it? Right. It's a lot of money. Now, so for all these things going on, and then all the killing, they pour feces on somebody, and then you never find who did it, and they kill somebody, you never find anybody. It really breaks down the morale of people. You see, many people have run away from this country, never to return. People who had businesses, have houses, thriving businesses. I mean, they experienced bandits one time, two times, and then they just say, you know what, I ain't able, and then they fed up, and they go. Yeah, people who don't want to ever come back to Ghana ever. And as I talk about this, I remember this guy that a friend of mine directed to in a place called Amere in the Netherlands. When Bishop sent us to Guyana, I was trying to find out more information. And then a friend told us, he knows a Guyanese guy who can help give us information. So one night, one evening, myself and my wife, we went to visit him. He was living with a nice white woman, nice neat house, comfortable. And we sat down, he gave us coffee and all of that. And then, we started talking, what we were coming to do and all of that. And then when we finished, then he also started his version. At the end of the day, he said that he would not advise anybody to come to Guyana. Guyanese, married to a white lady, he is not coming. So the wife rather was actually irritating him because the white lady said, I like Guyana. And he looked at her like, who is you who like Guyana? And then she said, she really liked to come back to Guyana. The first time she came to Guyana, it was very nice and beautiful and all of that. The husband said, no. If ever he decides to come back, he'll go and live somewhere in Barbados or Trinidad. Not in Guyana. Hey! So when we left the house, then my wife looked at my face. It's like, Jelly, where are we going? The person who even comes from there doesn't want to stay there. Daniel. How come we are going there? I said, don't worry. We'll go. God wants us to go, so we'll go. You see, so a lot of things. So when you see, it's what? 45 feet by, people's what? 45 feet by what? By 64 feet. The flag is 45 feet. Kevin, is this 45? This is less than 45. This is what, 40 something? Is it 40? It was 38. This is 38 feet. Yeah. So the 45 feet, which is the if you want to call it the height, is greater than here. And then it's what? 60? 64. This is about 80 something. Kevin, isn't it? It's about 80 something feet. The whole building here. So 64 is like about up to maybe the column there. That's how big. When it's up there, that's how big it is. The second. Trinidad has one and we are the second. Yeah. Nobody else around here has anything like that. Isn't it nice? Yeah. So when the arrow was, when the flag was going up, I mean, I was watching it on TV. Yeah, I mean, if TV is there, why should I go to the place? That's the use of TV. Yeah, I can sit down, cross my legs, and drink tea and watch. I can't drink tea when I go there. You know? So, I mean, it made me feel very, very proud. But you see, I was thinking about Jesus. And I was saying that Guyana has a flag. But we also have a flag in our heart. And the question is, are we very proud about what we have in our heart? That's the presence of Jesus in your heart and your life. Does it make you fearless? Does it make you satisfied? Does it make you fulfilled? Or you want something else? That's what I was thinking. If the flag alone can be, hoisted, and then it will bring pride. Oh, land of Guyana. Feel nice. Then, my Jesus and my Bible, hey, I must be more excited about that. Yeah. And this is the Jubilee Stadium for us. This is Jubilee Stadium. Yeah. 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 And this is even this is 80 something by 30. So don't have 40 something. 41. Yeah. 41 by 82 by 43. Yeah. Yeah, it's bigger than the flag. It's good to be saved. Yeah, for the Son of God or for God Himself to come and say, I want to be with you. There's nothing more exciting than that. That's why when you're a Christian and you get depressed, you need to be beaten. Yeah. Shorty, do you understand what I'm saying? Because when you're a Christian, you have more than you can even ever bargain for. Unless you don't understand what it means to be a Christian. That's how we sing the song, thank you God for saving me. You must be grateful that you are saved. Some people don't, Danny, some people don't, they are not grateful that they are saved. Some people are not saved. They are not excited about that. They don't understand. You see, and once you don't understand something, if somebody gives you money and you don't understand it, you are not grateful. It gives you maybe £50 right now. And say, what's this? Because it's not like you can go to the market and buy something. So you say, but what's this? Hey, do you know what £50 can do? You can do a lot of things. Eh? Go far. It can take you way, 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 way far. Are you with me? So sometimes it's a lack of understanding of who we are that makes us not even celebrate what God has blessed us with. So tonight we're continuing talking about what it means to be a sheep without a shepherd, isn't it? Yeah. We're saying in Psalm 100 that enter into his gates. What? What does the Bible say in Psalm 100 verse 1? It says, enter into his gates. No, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and come serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. If you don't come singing, forget about it. I say, if you don't come singing, forget about it. Many people come without singing. You must come with singing. That's a requirement. Say, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. He says in Psalm 23, verse 1, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And He says, He leads me beside the still waters. And He says, He restores my soul. He goes on to say that what he leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David, the king, brings out a very important characteristic of Christians. Andre, in fact, if you go to John chapter 10, let's go to John chapter 10. Let's add that one before we take off properly. John chapter 10, verse 1. Bible says that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, that person, but climbeth up some other way, that the same is a thief and a bandit. Verse 2 says, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Yeah, there are some people who don't come through the door. They come through windows. And when the Bible says it, it means that these are people who have not been given legitimate power or authority to relate with you. People who call you secretly and say, come to we church. Come to we place. People have, the Bible says they are thieves because they are not entering in by the door. They are not, who enters a house through the window? A thief. Yeah. Verse 3, what does it say? To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. If you go to verse 11 of John chapter 10, the Bible says that, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus said, he is the shepherd. If Jesus is the shepherd, Shemiba, you are what? Are you sure you are a sheep? I thought you were going to say you were some animal, another animal. If Jesus is a shepherd and he gives his life for the sheep, then those of us that Jesus has given his life to, we are sheep. Patricia, are you there? So if God or if Jesus has given his life to you, then it means that you are sheep. Chantel. Now, we have to, like I've been saying, we have to understand what it means to be a sheep and then try and develop ourselves being sheep so that the things that benefit sheep and advantages of being sheep will also be our advantages and will be our benefits. How many understand what I'm trying to say? So, if you are, and what I've been explaining, I've been saying that, okay, when you're a student, when you're a wife, when you're a husband, when you are this, when you are that, you have to understand what you are. A woman is a woman. A woman is not a man. A man is not a woman. You have to understand, that's what the Bible says, we must dwell with women according to knowledge, that knowing that they are the weaker vessels. As a man, you have to understand that if you live with a woman, or your wife is weak, no matter how their mouth will sound. Don't worry about the mouth. No, it's just a mouth. As for mouth, you can even buy one in a shop. That's not a problem at all. everything about a woman, the Bible says, is a weak one. Now, so the Bible is saying that because she's the weaker vessel, living with her, you must understand how to live with something that is weak. Otherwise, you break it. The thing is weak already. If you don't get the skill and the wisdom to deal with it, you destroy it. How many understand what I'm trying to say? That's how come some men have chopped some women. They've killed some women. They've chopped them. They're still chopping some. Pray that you don't get chopped. Yeah. So we as sheep must understand, must behave, must have the know-how to be able to remain sheep. Because if you don't remain a sheep, there are a lot of things that you will not get. Christopher, if you are supposed to be sheep and you become a tiger, then what we call green pastures doesn't work for you. Because the tiger doesn't eat grass. Meat. Jesus is not giving people meat. He's giving people grass. So once you're a tiger, then you are on your own. You have to hunt. Yeah. And you can hunt, but if you don't take care, you hunt and you go close to Jesus and his sheep, then you will feel it. Then you will know that this sheep, the sheep belongs to somebody. So you better be careful. Are you with me? Right. So we're looking at what it means if we as sheep do not have anybody or any shepherd over our lives. The first thing we looked at was that when you are in such a situation, you are aimless. Because as a sheep, you need to be led. I mean, that you can't, and it's very interesting. I don't know whether you are listening to the messages, because the message is supposed to help you change the way you are operating. Don't be a goat. Goats, they don't have a shepherd. Don't be a snake. A snake will take a stone and hit your head. Don't be anything that is not supposed to be in the kingdom of God. So aim. And I want to emphasize on the aim that you may even have an aim. You get it? You may have an aim, but that aim is not a good aim if it's not given to you by your shepherd. I'm not sure whether you're here tonight. Are you still in the Republic celebration? I'm saying that if a shepherd gives a sheep an aim, then if you call yourself sheep and you don't have the aim of your shepherd, then your aim is not a good aim. How many of us don't have good aims? Look at lying people in the church. Only Fitz, let me bless you tonight after church, okay? You need some blessings. Yeah. Don't share it with Ivo, okay? She got it wrong. I'm saying that if you are a sheep and you have an aim, it is an illegal, unsupported aim. A preacher said it one time. He said that God told him, any project that I ask you to do, I'll fund it. The project that I don't tell you to do, those ones, you have to find your own money to fund those projects. So you better don't undertake projects that God is not involved in. That's the same thing I'm talking about. That in your life, the things you do in your life, the visions and the dreams you have as a Christian, not even as an individual, as a Christian, are they aims that a shepherd has given you? Yeah. The second thing we looked at was that if a sheep does not have a shepherd, there's division, isn't it? Wonderful. Number three tonight, very briefly, is that without a shepherd, you find that the sheep becomes weak and then infected with diseases, weakness and diseases, weakness and diseases, weakness and diseases, weakness and diseases. When a shepherd or when a sheep does not have a shepherd, what prevails is weakness and diseases. Ezekiel chapter 34, we want to read from verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord, somebody say, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, okay. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. He said, prophesy and say unto them, this is what the Lord God is saying unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? That's what Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. 3, he said, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Verse 4, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, you take away the shepherd. And you understand what I'm trying to say. I am preaching and I'm teaching about the sheep or somebody like you without a shepherd, without a guide, without God sent teacher or master to lead and to guide you. It is amazing. You see, when you are a pastor, you're called by God and you do so many things and people get very excited and people get so amazed by it. One of the things that is mysterious is that you yourself don't understand the things that happen. Jigu, are you there? No, I seem to have forgotten how I managed to get to where I am now. If you ask me, so what did you do? I'll probably tell you something, but I really don't remember. Of course, I have to tell you something. I have to answer the question. But if you say this, you'll be deceived to say that it is this that brought me here. It's a mixture of a lot of things. And some that I don't even remember, because as I have pastored the church, it has been the leading of the Lord. It has been, do this, do that. And when you do it, you forget what you did, because it wasn't me who decided to do something. How many understand what I'm trying to say? It's like somebody is whispering to you, therefore, you don't even remember what the person said anymore after a few years. Yeah, you are being led by the Holy Ghost. And that's what makes the church work. That's what makes the church move forward. Because the Bible says, it is in him we live and move and have our being. So sometimes even when you pray for people and you touch them and they cry and they fall, I also want to also fall. Yeah, so that all of us we fall. But how you feel, sometimes you see how some people are really under the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's nice to see it, but what happened to me? Have you not asked yourself before? You receive it. You're excited that you fall. Now I'm standing and I'm wondering, Lord, when will I also fall? Because if the falling is nice for you and it's helping you, it's doing something for you, come to me. So you realize that the shepherd now, therefore,
is there primarily for the sheep. That is why Paul said that I keep my body under control. He said, because if I don't do that, by the time I finish preaching to others, I myself will even miss the point. Because he realized that as a cup and as a vessel, you are just being used to serve the people. You yourself, if you don't take care, the people will drink everything from the cup. You got to say, enough is enough. Let me also leave a little bit in the cup also. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That's why they told Jesus, physician, heal thyself. But how can you heal yourself when you have been giving something for the people? If it wasn't the people, God would not give pastors what he has given to us. Yeah. Because when he gives you, what are you going to do? That's why if you are not involved in God's work, there's a certain magnitude of blessing and prosperity will not receive. Because when he gives you, you use it for something else. And if you're involved in God's work, then he knows that when he gives you, it goes back into what he's doing. So when you take away the shepherd from this story, and God is addressing the shepherds, he's actually addressing them to the point that they have not been functional. In other words, you can remove the shepherd and then see what is happening. Are you still Jubilee Park? Are you here? Because he says, son of man, verse 1 again, son of man, prophesy to what? The shepherds. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, he said, son of man, what did he say? Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. He said, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Because the food is not supposed to be for the shepherd. How can a shepherd eat grass? What have become of shepherds now who are eating grass? How? There's something wrong about that. He said, the grass that you are seeing is not salad. You can't put in Italian dressing on this green grass and eat it. This is supposed to be for the sheep. But you are doing the wrong thing. And in doing the wrong thing, you have ceased to even be present in your role as a shepherd. And that has caused number 4 or verse 4 to happen. The Bible says that you have made the people now weak. They are diseased. He said, the diseased have ye not strengthened. So the people have become sick and they have become weak. It tells you that if a sheep doesn't have a shepherd, that's what happens to them. There's weakness and there's no strength. Disease. So you as a sheep and me as a sheep, if we have no shepherd, you see, if you look at it, the world preaches the opposite. In fact, people fight you when you want to be like somebody. Is your pastor, is he God? It's rubbish. It's rubbish. If you don't joke with what I'm saying. If you don't have a pastor, and I'm not saying that it is just somebody who is Pastor Ralph who preaches in the church that you go to. No, but having a pastor is being able to assess him and benefit from whoever he is to you. Many people are not enjoying life and they're very, very handicapped in life because the problem is not that they don't have fathers. They have fathers. But the use of a father is what? It's not there. Right. Are you getting it? I'm saying that, of course, each one of us came from a sperm and an egg. So you can't say you don't have a father. You go to Lighthouse Chapel International. Then the pastor is pastor.
Pastor Keith Massey. Oh, I mean, they are pastors. But the question now is, what are you gaining from the pastor? You have a father. What role is the father playing in your life? And you can see even from that practical thing we're looking at, it's when that father is absent in playing his role, you see the handicaps. You see the problems. Because we can never be wiser than God. God said, the man wasn't good alone. He brought a woman. And he said, now you can make children. So the children now comes into a stable relationship. When a child comes and one of the two is not around, you can't tell me that it will be the same as how God wanted it to be. Are you God? In the same way, you can be in the church, like many of you are in the church, but are not benefiting from the pastor. And therefore, there's a lot of diseases. A lot of weakness. Because you are a sheep. You say you know the type of grass to eat. You say you know where to eat grass. You get out in the morning by yourself. And then you go and chew grass. You know there's some poisonous grass. Isn't it? There's not every grass you can chew. But you see, because you are a sheep and you are not being led, the grass you are chewing is poisonous grass. It makes you sick. It makes you weak. Have you forgotten this poem or this song they used to sing in school when we were kids? Mary had a little lamb. What does it say? Its fleece was white. And what is the third line? And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb said, me? I ain't taking left. And the soul said, she took him to school. And that was what? Against the rules. But you see, but the lamb knew that if Mary was to leave it alone, that a lamb being left alone, and many of you are lambs. You are not even sheep, you are a lamb. You are so feeble. You are so tender. You are so fragile that a little exposure to something that you can't handle can easily take you out and take you off. Because the lambs, Jesus said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs. The feeble ones, the lambs, they need closeness. They need more closeness to the shepherd. Sometimes he even carries those ones as he's going. He's carrying some of them closer. So can you imagine that? At your stage in your Christian life, you are feeble, you are young in the Christian life. You don't know much. But then you are walking on your two legs. You're walking on your four legs. Except that you can't see that. You're walking around like somebody who can manage your own business by your own self. Not knowing that you are as feeble as a lamb. Yes, any strong wind can even blow you off your feet. And that's how many people... You see, I was telling somebody today, I was saying that the same message I was preaching to the church in Farm. I said that, you see, it's you who don't know how to behave as a Christian. Some of the behaviors you see around, that's not how Christians behave. And you shouldn't take examples from those things. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah, from where this church has come and has come to you, we don't behave in the way that some people behave around here or they have behaved a little while ago. That's not how we behave. So when you see certain things happening around and you get affected, you get those things are not what happens. It doesn't happen. That's not how this family doesn't stand for those things. That's why we are preaching this way. And it's in the Bible. It's not something that I have created. You can read it in the Art of Shepherding also.
that the sheep needs the shepherd. Without the shepherd, the sheep is going to be weak. The sheep is going to be sick. Diseases. Mad cow disease. Zika, Zico, Ziki. Worms. Worms. Tapeworms and all kinds of things will definitely affect the sheep in where they eat. That's why many people, many Christians do not understand that when you belong to a church, you can't visit another church.
Then it boils down to control. Because someone said, why are they controlling us? No, this is not control.
If you have a sheep, would you like the sheep to stay one day in somebody's yard for one day? Sir, will you do that? What about if the sheep doesn't come back? You lose a sheep. And if we are sheep indeed, then a day for you in another church because of some christening or something. I mean, those things are probably a little different. When you have a relative or family who's doing christening and, you know, they want you to come, that's different. But to just go and visit. No, it means you don't have an aim. It means you don't have an aim. And many Christians behave like that.
I remember many years ago, my praise and worship leader went to visit a church. One day, but then they asked them, oh, those are here for the first time. And then they stood up and the pastor invited them to the front. And when they went, you know, he introduced them to the church, first timers and all of that. Then he started praying for them. And when he got to my praise and worship leader, he started casting out demons from her. And the girl said that, I mean, he was trying to push her. He was trying to push her to fall down, and she didn't want to fall down. So when she came, she was giving me this report. She said she won't go to any church again. Because all the time that she has been with me, I have not cast out no devils from her. Because it's very embarrassing. When you go to a church for the first time, they'll put you in front. Who's anybody here for the first time today? You're here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? Here for the first time. Okay, sir, can you come? Yes, come. Do you know what demons are? You don't know what demons are? Do you know what demons are? Hey! You live on earth, you don't know what demons are. What's your name?
Glenroy.
From where? From farm. Ah! Hey, Reverend Cromwell, you have to teach them about demons. A lot of demons in the farm.
Now, can you imagine that you are here for the first time and I bring you to the front and I begin to say, the devil is inside you.
He's asking me if I'm serious. Glenroy.
Now, I'm sure by the time I finish with you, and as I'm praying for you though, and I'm pushing you,
do you think you come back to the church again?
Yeah.
You will come back.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's special. Thank you, Glenroy. The lady said, what? In my church, I am a star. And I come to this church, and the guy is saying that you demons.
Hey. He says she felt very bad, Pa, because it's not so nice to hear that you have demons.
When in your church, you are the superstar. The black star of your church. And then you go to visit somebody's church and they are saying that you have a demon.
Huh? You see, but that is a result of sheep who don't have a shepherd and they like to just eat about.
You get sick. Pastor Isan told you, isn't it?
You get sick. Yeah. Why sheep get sick? Sometimes they eat about. They eat anything because there's no shepherd to guide them to a place where the grass is healthy, the grass is rich, the grass is what will give them the nutrients and whatever they need in their bodies. So Pinky will be living her life. Excited. She's
It's my life. You know the song? It's my life. It's my. Yes, it's your life. But you don't know that. You are diseased. And if we were to take, thank you, if we were to bring a spiritual thermometer, many of you, even HIV, spiritual HIV kit, all of many of you would test positive. Yeah. Positive to Ebola. Zika. H1N1 or N1H1 virus. Yeah. It's true. And that's how God is speaking to us. That the solution to our weakness and our diseases is to have a shepherd. You try it and see how good God is. Stand to your feet, we must die himself. Hey, today you are clapping, Pa. Me understand. Flag is up. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you thank God tonight? Thank God for his word. It's giving you solutions to the reason why you're weak. Sometimes you go through weaknesses and sicknesses, and sometimes when you don't feel like coming to church, that's a disease. Sometimes when you don't feel like reading your Bible and you don't feel like praying, you don't have the strength to pray, it's a disease, it's a weakness. And the Bible says it's because of the lack of a shepherd. Thank God for his word. Thank him for this revelation. Thank him to help you with ideas, to lead you and to guide you to benefit from what he, God, has set up in his church. Your life will never be the same again. Thank God tonight. Thank God tonight. Wherever you are, whatever language you speak, thank God for his word. Thank God for the revelation. Sicknesses, diseases, weakness that affect us, and our children, our marriages, our financial lives, our relationship deficiencies, our schooling, whatever affects us as human beings, and the things that press us down, they are there because of the lack of a shepherd. Kebros kabranda makaya bas kebrindes. Mama mamas kebro mas kotoboros kibrindes kete. Lebo bobos kabandara makabras kataya baba. Es kebrinde mekaya babas kataya. Mame sheke brinde. May we not be sick anymore, oh God, because of this revelation. May we not be weak anymore because of this message that has come to us. Monday. Mando, raboske brende. Rababa kabras kataya bababa. Mande berebe shike brende meskete ya baba baba. Mende rebe shike brende mekere ya baba baba. Baba baba skata bara bara baba. Lele lebe shike brende meke mende rebe shike brende mekere ya baba. Mando mo moske be. Berebe be berebe be berebe be berebe. Mande rebe shikata ya baba. Ralo moske le nere meke brende. Baba ske brende mekere ya meke breskata ya baba baba. Oh, skerendere meke bereme skebrende meke. Baba baskebe bereme kebres kara. Mandara makabras kata yarara. Bara ndere meke bereme. Father, thank you so much that you are the good shepherd of our souls. As long as you are our shepherd, we shall never want. Thank you for opening our eyes to some of the troubles and the issues and the diseases and the weaknesses that comes our way and that we encounter. Lord, you have told us it is because of the lack of a shepherd. We will not be without a shepherd from this day forward. Thank you for the revelation you've given to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're here tonight before we take our seat. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure where I would go. You want to be born again. You don't want to die and go to hell. Hell is not a good place for you. God did not create hell for anybody. He made it for Satan and the angels who rebelled against him. But you have the choice whether you want to go to heaven or hell. Tonight, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to go to heaven when I die. As I stand here, I'm not sure. I want to be sure before I leave the presence of the Lord tonight. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. If you're here like that, wherever you are, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. God bless you, sir. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. It's a very, very important prayer. You must pray if you want to go to heaven. Pastor, please pray for me. Your right hand up high. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come. Come, I want to pray for you. Come, sir. Come. Clap for him as he comes. Clap for him as he comes. Come. Come. God bless you. It's a very important decision. You want to join him? God bless you, my dear. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Anybody coming? Come, come, come now. Only. All right.
Lead me to the cross.
Gonna give your heart to Jesus. Huh? Wow. God bless you, my dear. What's your name? Cloudy.
To your
you wanna come? Come, yes, Glenroy, come. You better be sure before you go back to farm tonight. God bless you. God bless you, my dear. Wow.
Lead me to your
lead me to. You wanna join them? It's never too late.
Lord, I lay me down and rid me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Wow. Close your eyes with me. It's a very important prayer that you need to pray. Praying that prayer, what you're saying is that you are opening your heart to Jesus. So come and live in your heart. Once Jesus comes in, you can never go wrong. Close your eyes with me, church, and let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. And that is why I open my heart. And I invite Jesus to come and live in my heart. To be my master and my savior. From tonight, I believe that I'm born again. My name is written in the book of life. And I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul and giving me a place in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.